we continue our journey with the Psalms of Ascent, the pilgrimage Psalms. And we're at Psalm 128 today. Listen to the word of God. Happy, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be happy, and it shall go well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. May God bless the hearing and reading of his holy word. Let us pray. Lord, open our eyes and our hearts and our lives to see you in the ordinary gifts of every day. Open our eyes and our hearts to hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yesterday I was at a baby naming ceremony. I've never been to one of those before. And it was one of my former students who was my teaching assistant. Her and her husband had lived down in Kensington with a group of Christians who lived in a pretty rough part of town, and their idea was to kind of live in community and transform that area. They were kind of associated with people the simple way, kind of a Christian movement coming up at Eastern University. And at one point, her husband was in this alternative rock group that gets a lot of critical acclaim, but now he's a medical student. So they interesting people. And this service was, well, I guess it was a service. It was a kind of a tribal gathering as well. It's a wonderful snapshot at the postmodern moment because there were elements of old Jewish rituals of naming, as well as Phil Spector songs sung. Yeah, it was just kind of a little bit of everything. And Nikki Kleinberg is my teaching assistant. She was so excited. I came and she immediately just started telling me about the birth process. Which, you know, that's fine. And she, of course, as you can expect, yeah, they were going to do natural childbirth. She goes, and I want, you know, did all the things to get ready for it. And like many people before her, in the middle of hard labor, then went 20 hours. She goes, give me drugs, you know. But she said she didn't do it. She said I was afraid. She said it was intense. But then when the baby came, everything was swallowed into that, as many of you have experienced. And, you know, it's one of those, you know, terribly frightening and joyous events at the same time. When my kids were young, and I've done it with kids in our church, too, where I used to tell them these stories about dragons. I mean, we'd do dragons and ogres, and they would love, when the lights were, you know, the kind of lights are out, for me to scare them. And they would get scared, and they'd kind of shriek, and then they'd go, do it again, you know. And I think there's something at work there, something that we know as children that we forget as we get older, that fear and awe are not necessarily counter to joy. And I think this psalm is talking about that. Blessed is the one who gets normal. I think that's how I would summarize this. Happy are you if you get to eat the labor of your hands. Happy are you if your wife has lots of babies and they live. Happy are you if you get to see your grandkids. And it's interesting that the image of the wife as a vine and the children as olive shoots, anybody praying or hearing this would immediately also have seen the imagery of Israel. Both of these images are symbols of Israel as well. And at the end of the psalm, he comes right out and explicitly says that there are multi-layers here. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. See, very much intertwined in the biblical understanding of blessedness is that I never am just concerned about my own blessedness. It's not enough for my own table to be full if my community or my country's table is bare, if my world is bare. See, one of the things I think is so destructive in much of the current political rhetoric of our times is that somehow it's individual well-being is placed versus community well-being. And that somehow everything is about me. And somehow that's what happiness and what life and what country is about. But in this psalm, we get a glimpse of this wonderful shalom around your table and eating your garden and just enjoying the good things of life. But that never is exclusive of praying for the prosperity of Jerusalem. And I think that's something that we fail miserably to understand in this culture that worships individualism. And I think this is a wonderful reminder that my happiness is not something that should be excluded or built on the backs of other people's suffering. Years ago, I don't know how many years ago he died, maybe 7 or 8 years ago, Warren Zevon died. He was a singer-songwriter, part of that early 70s group in Southern California. And his last appearance on the David Letterman show, David Letterman asked him if having terminal cancer gave him some knowledge about life and death. And he says, well, I'm not sure. You put more value on every minute. You know, I always kind of thought I did that. I really always enjoyed myself, but it's more valuable now. You're reminded to enjoy every sandwich. Now, I think that's a great notion. I mean, I have all kinds of quotes in my head from Augustine to Wittgenstein, and yet this enjoy every sandwich is one I can always remember. And I think that one of the most important things that we can do is to see God and enjoy God in the normal. Again, we probably all pray when things are going badly. Even people who don't believe in God pray when things are going badly, right? And I think most of us as people of faith feel gratitude when things are really good. But most of life is lived in the in-between time. Thank heavens that every week is not a crisis. And, you know, one of the reasons we enjoy the mountaintops is because they're mountaintops. But I think this prayer is a prayer of thanksgiving for the ordinary. I mean, enjoying every sandwich is a reminder of, boy, being able to sit down at a table and just have a meal and have a good meal is a wonderful gift. Being able to enjoy beauty, be able to enjoy just the simple gifts of this life is one of an amazing blessing. And the psalmist is able to stop and think, you know what? As he's walking his way to Jerusalem and thinking about the prosperity of Jerusalem, he's thankful. He's thankful for the good gifts, the simple gifts that God has given him. Blessed is the one who not only gets normal, but enjoys normal. Now, this idea of fearing the Lord, this is something, you know, that it's hard to get this one right. I mean, on one level, we live in a time where you don't even talk about, you know, that. Jesus is like my business partner. Jesus is my buddy. Jesus is the person who agrees with everything I do. Jesus is there to get me out of trouble. Jesus is my co-pilot, whatever, you know. And fearing the Lord is a concept that's kind of goes against the grain. And also, sometimes, I know the people who talked a lot about this when I was growing up, if that was Christianity, I didn't want any parts of it. All right? So many of us have heard pretty frightening stuff about the fear of the Lord. But for me, and this, I'm sure this analogy has come to you before as well, fearing the Lord is like my relationship with the ocean. I when I sit and look at the ocean, I am reminded, first of all, of how physically small I am. I'm reminded of the sheer power of this force of nature and how you're literally watching the earth change every time a wave comes by. And then I also stop and think about how small I am in the scope of time. I mean, I start thinking about, you know, what's happened over hundreds of thousands, millions of years, and how the ocean has changed and shaped things, and life has come and gone, and it makes me even feel smaller, not only in space, but in time. But that in no way diminishes the beauty of it. In some levels, that makes the beauty even bigger. I remember the first time Ben, my oldest, was a toddler, and took him to the beach, and he just took off running. He saw it and just started running. And it was, and you know, I better go get him. You know, it's kind of one of those things, you know. But I think he was overwhelmed, and he ran. He responded. And I think that's what the fear of the Lord is. To be in the presence of something so much bigger than all of us, but being able to enjoy and feel comfort in knowing that this God who's so much bigger than I am surrounds and loves me beyond any measure. Walking in his ways. One of my favorite things I ever did to youth groups, and I did this twice at two different youth groups, was we would do crazy stuff on a regular basis, and I would do a big kickoff relay in the fall, and then periodically would do strange games and things like that, and competitive things. And so one night I brought them all to this big open field, and I'd already set up the field. There were balls, there were footballs, there were soccer balls, there were kickballs, there were baseball bats, there were frisbees, there were hula hoops. I set up pylons, in a systematic way. Okay, I divided the youth group into two teams, blew the whistle, and I said, go. And there were kind of different responses over the years. One year, some guy just went and grabbed a ball, went and ran through the pylons, and I said, 100 points. Well, someone from the other team did the same thing, and I go, minus 50. But it didn't take too long for this excited youth group to turn into an angry mob. And and they go, well, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? I go, play the game. We don't know what the game is. We don't know what the rules are. And, of course, they would start, saying negative things about this youth group stinks and this is the stupidest game ever. And I go, it's kind of hard to play a game without rules, isn't it? And I think that's really at heart of what walking in the way of the Lord is. I mean, the law was given not as a weapon, but as a gift. And it was given as a way for us to live our lives well. The late Arthur Weiser, who was a German pastor and Old Testament scholar, says this about this passage. The poet sets forth as a principle binding on the community of the godly the foundation of right conduct and of true happiness. That is the fear of the Lord and walking in God's ways. In the fear of God, man's basic attitude of humility is manifested as he realizes and acknowledges that God is Lord of his life. One of the things I think that is important for us to remember is that this is an occasional doctrine. In other words, this is not applicable to every situation. People have taken this kind of idea, well, if I fear God and do what's right, then everything's going to go well for me. It's not a universal principle. Okay, and I think that's to misread the text. All right, so I think it's important that happened not only in history, but it happens even in the scripture story. Some people take this and make it as if this is an absolute tight law of spiritual nature, and it's not that. Okay? This is a spirituality for normal times. The Bible is equally clear that sometimes you fear God, you do everything right, and things go terribly wrong. Okay, so this is not to be absolutized as some sort of theological law of God. But it's not a bad traveling. It's not a bad traveling guide. In other words, most of our days, thank heavens, are not apocalyptic. And in that time of normalcy, in those days where we have to kind of order our lives, we have to pay our bills, we have to feed our children, we have to plan for our retirements, we have to cut the grass, okay? We have to buy groceries. And all those normal activities, we are reminded by this psalm to see gift where gift is. And wherever we can see the gift of life, then we are reminded of the giver of life. And if God truly is our Lord, then that means we need to walk in his ways. That's who we are. If we're the children of God, we need to act as if we're the children of God. And when we act as if we're the children of God in these normal times, then we will sense a blessedness and a happiness. The other thing this does is when we're in bad times, okay, when things are not going well, this also gives us a direction in which to go. This gives us a path. And so as we're on this journey, as we're praying for the well-being not only of our own households and our own selves, but we pray for the well-being of our church and our community, I think it's a great traveling prayer. You know, it's okay to be happy. It's okay to enjoy the good gifts that God has given us. And it's always okay to recognize the author and giver, the author and completer of our lives. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.